Jake, I tell you what's good. There's a jolly mood in the place.
There is a jolly mood.
Because one quarter of our podcasting team, producer Connor, who is stepdaddy, you might have heard him
referenced. We've got daddy and stepdaddy.
The bit more rough and ready producer. You might have heard previously, sadly, don't laugh, mate, he had gout.
Yes, he had gout. He's a medieval guy with medieval trends.
Yeah.
He managed to dodge the syphilis, dodge the plague, and but sadly riddled with gout.
I was reminiscing with him about his gout earlier, which was lovely.
And reminiscing? Said, I love how quickly it's become nostalgic.
He said it all started at the episode with Dan Tiernan. So we're going back to maybe like episode 10.
Right.
And now coming in episode someone in the 30s, he's over it. He's recovered. He's over his gout.
Well, I think you're getting too excited too quickly. So the latest is he's got conjunctivitis. I would say, guys, if you're sat there thinking of saying, look, I'd like to run a podcast, I'd like to produce one, I'd like to host one, it's not for the faint-hearted, okay?
Yeah.
This is the sort of thing where you're going to come out with injuries. You're going to get gout. You're going to get conjunctivitis.
Yeah.
You might get a slightly itchy knob area. These are all things that producer Connor has to go through on a daily basis.
It's the modern jousting.
It's the modern jousting. Yeah. It's the modern jousting.
It's just podding.
Be careful, please.
So, public safety announcement. Please be careful if producing a podcast.
That's our announcement.
Yeah. Who's our guest for today, Jake?
Our guest today is, a vision of a man. Mm-hmm. It's the amazing Daniel Fox. You'll know him from his sketches, from his stand-up, from his podcast.
Bit of a
Dane
podcast
Buckley.
legend himself, really.
Actually does run podcasts.
I hope his producers are right.
His producer's got rickets, sadly. Let's go meet him.
Let's do it. Joining our pub quiz team this week, we have a comedian not only described by people in the industry as being hilarious, but also filthy. Let's hope he's washed his hands. It's Daniel Fox.
Hello.
Are you filthy?
Graham Norton called me filthy. Yeah.
Name drop about four words.
So let me pick that up off the floor.
That was the first thing you said, Graham Norton.
That's the best name drop we've had.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I mean, Graham Norton's good. That's good. When did he call you filthy?
He was like holding me by the neck.
He was right.
He came and saw an Edinburgh show of mine like years ago and then tweeted about it afterwards and said funny and filthy.
Well, we're very, very pleased to have this filthy comedian with us. It's been quite exciting for us. I slid into your DMs and I was like, please.
Yeah, and then I kept kind of ghosting on it.
Yeah,
kept promising I would and then being like, maybe not, but because I think that makes it more exciting when it does finally happen.
So
now here we are,
because I kept going back to Liam being like, I've asked Daniel Fox. And then a few days later, like, as if it was like, I'm going on a date tonight. Yeah, let me know how it goes. Like, so how did it go? No. It's probably busy, actually. It's probably busy. It was like
fucking hokey cokey, wasn't it? Daniel Fox is in. Daniel Fox is back out. I'd go and ask someone else, and they'd be in, and then you'd be, Daniel Fox is back in. Like, sorry, mate, you're out.
The amount of people we've had to kick off for Daniel Fox, it's unbelievable. Yeah.
That's how I like it.
I'm so sorry, Josh Jones. We will get you on one day. Thanks for coming all this way as well. What do you make of our sort of pop-up podcast in the middle of Deptford?
What a place Deptford is.
Yes.
And it's nice. And I sort of messaged you ahead of time, because I had a strange thing where I got off the tube, and I felt, you know, when like Superman touches kryptonite and suddenly all the power is like sapped out of him and he's like suddenly incredibly weak. I had kind of that come over me. I was like, what's happening to me? And then I obviously figured it out by showing you the nearest Pret is so far away. We are so far. We're maybe the furthest away in London you can get from a Pret a Manger. Like, we're like in a perfect trifecta.
You know, like where we are looks like the epicenter of a nuclear bomb.
Yeah,
which just wiped out Pret for sort of like 5 miles.
No Pret can survive.
It's almost like a perfect circle around it where the Prets can start.
All of this is just the shadows of women drinking lattes burnt into the pavement. And I feel sapped. Actually, I feel quite a sense of panic.
Yeah,
that there
I've
isn't
got the
one.
Exact there. Same image. It's almost the negative of Morley's fried chicken, where everywhere that Dan goes, there isn't one.
Yeah, it's
crazy.
Yeah. I like to go where a Morley's isn't.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, it's a lovely crossover. Is there much of a crossover in your quizzing?
What are you bringing to the table then?
What am I bringing to the table? I think a sense of grace.
Sure.
I think a sense of calm and very little general knowledge.
Yes, it was the hallmark of a shit quizzer, wasn't it? To sort of bullshit their way through sort of quite abstract additions to the team.
No, calm and grace. I'll tell you what, a lot of grace. I'm quite good with a capital city. Okay. My geography is pretty good. I went through a phase where I learned every country in the world. I can't remember them all now, but I could do like every capital in Africa and every capital in Asia and all that. And now it's, I think I've only got Europe left in my brain. But
clever and not a racist as well. That's so nice.
No, I am a racist.
Oh, of course, yes.
Only Europe left in his brain.
So we like to ask our guest the most interesting fact that they know or that they've heard recently. Do you have something for us?
Yeah, I recently heard that the anus...
Yes. I wondered why we all had so many liquids to consume.
The anus is as unique as a thumbprint and can be used to identify people. And there is now technology where you can take a video of your arsehole and that can be used to identify you. And there are toilets where they scan your bumhole and know which member of the family it is and therefore, like... what to do for you, what your preferences
what
are.
To do for you.
What to do for you.
How hard to flush or something.
Yeah, how if it's like one of those little bidet ones. Maybe give you a
dad's
little...
Dad's had a vindaloo.
Yeah, when it knows that it's... When it identifies dad's anus, it's like...
You can identify
something on
the anus.
Yeah.
You'd be sitting on someone's face with passport control. That'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It'd be really lovely.
We'll get arrested, mugshot, get your ass out.
God, I can see that now as a game on a sort of... Japanese version of Celebrity Juice, where you're sort of trying to guess the person from their arsehole sitting on your face.
A game of guess who?
Yeah. Has he got a moustache? Weirdly, yes!
I mean, that is a great fact.
It's a brilliant fact.
Thank you. Do you have a team name as well?
Yeah, you know when people do the ones where they make it like... Quiz Teamer Aguilera, and like Trivia Newton John.
Yeah.
I think our team name is just going to be... Christina Aguilera. Like, no pun on it.
I can see the quizmaster reading it out and being like, oh, someone has had enough. Someone has had enough. They're just here to do the quiz. I love that.
It can either be Christina Aguilera or Olivia Newton-John. That's our team name.
It's Christina Aguilera is beautiful.
Yeah.
We had Daisy Doris May on a few weeks ago, and she thought that she had come up with Quizzy Rascal.
Well, that's sweet.
Yeah. It was a bit of a lead balloon moment of like, oh, I don't know how to, who's going to tell her? Who's going to tell
you
her?
You and thousands of men and women around this country.
The bloke at school who thought he'd come up with, sea later alligator. The guy at school thought he'd come up with in a wild crocodile.
Oh, did he?
Have
you had any of those in your life where you were convinced it was you?
No, but we're going to get
Can we keep that in, but just bleep the name?
Yeah. That would be cool. That would
with
be
no nice. Context. Yeah. I was convinced I had come up with living my best life. Like, I thought that was me. In about 2018, I started saying that. And I think I was an early adopter because people would go, when I said it. But then it started appearing on, like, TV. And, like, Stacey Dooley and people were saying it.
And you were
like,
thinking...
I was like, she's got that off me.
Yeah.
Like, how many degrees of separation has happened that she's taken that from me?
But there was genuinely no inspiration that you took it from.
There must have been.
Oh, okay.
But not that I can recall. Yeah. As far as I'm aware, I came up with that.
Right. I thought I came up with Distinctly Average.
Oh.
I'm fairly sure I came up with that. And that gets used quite a lot.
I love how you still think, no, it's still mine.
It's still mine. No, it's
not
still
just
mine.
I heard it elsewhere.
Stacey Dooley once told me, Jake, the best shot... Stacey Dooley once told me, Jake, the best...
Any more name dropping will go on between you two.
Stacey Dooley once told me, the best place to shop, Jake, is your own wardrobe.
Oh. That's
interesting. I thought that really... considering she said two things to me, which was, hi, I'm Stacey, and that...
That's quite pointed.
I thought it was just... A way to sort of show that she's probably got a lot of clothes in her wardrobe.
Or maybe complimenting your clothing, I guess. She's like, wow, your wardrobe would be the best place to shop.
No. I said, oh, that's a great outfit. And then
I want a deeper meaning to it.
Where'd you get that jacket from? She said, tell you what, Jake, the best place to shop is your own wardrobe.
Yeah, but she didn't mean like look inside yourself for sort of...
Not Dooley. That wouldn't have been Dooley.
She might have wanted to. I think it sounded like Stacey Dooley wanted to get her nasty little fingers into your wardrobe. She wanted a bit of that, what's that, houndstooth plaid, I think she was after. Classic Dooley.
Oh, Dooley.
Evil Dooley.
So, each week we get sent a genuine pub quiz from a UK quizmaster. And it's not a UK quizmaster this week. This week we have gone international once again. This week's quiz has been sent in by Eugene in Moldova.
Seriously?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And he has hosted a weekly quiz at the Tap Room by Litra and Friends in Chisinau.
Chisinau.
For the last 7 years, and his quiz there is every Tuesday at 7:30. So for our Moldovan listeners,
thank you so much, Chisinau, for sending this in. Daniel, this isn't a shit podcast.
No,
this is a proper podcast.
Can I give you a fact about Moldova?
Yes, please. Yum.
Actually, I'm going to give you two facts.
Every Moldovan in Amos is the same.
I'm really into ASMR.
Okay.
You know, the like, that stuff. And here's a fact. How that started, because I was on like the ground floor of ASMR online, was it began with like people whispering and people found that comforting to hear. And it started with people taking cuts of Big Brother gossip scenes. Where people were just like bitching about each other and being like, I just think she's a fucking cunt. And they would like, bleep that if you need. They would compile that and then people would comment underneath being like, love this. Find this so weirdly relaxing.
I think King has just shoved a wine bottle up a vagina.
Yeah, people were like, that's really putting me to sleep. Anyway, ASMR, I've recently started watching this Moldovan woman who eats like amazing Moldovan treats and I'm obsessed with her. She's eating like a weird little cake called, and this is for you, Eugene, Baba Niagra, which means black grandma, the name of the cake. And it's like a sort of cakey bread.
Wow.
And it's a Moldovan dish.
Wow. I think that might even top your anus fact.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know which one to go for now.
I think brilliant.
You can actually identify someone. Your black grandma is as unique as your thumbprint.
Well, also the Big Brother fact was pretty good.
Yeah, it's all thank very you. Good. Yeah.
I think we're going to get a high score.
And if you do have a black grandma, send a photo of her anus in.
Very good quizzer.
Please send that in. I don't know if you saw that, Daniel, but as you were doing the ASMR, our producer just came. He just really he enjoyed really it so that. Much.
Do you know what ASMR stands for? It's my phone.
Audio sensory. Audio sensory something relief.
Nearly.
Really?
Auto sensory meridian response.
Okay.
Don't get any.
No, I don't get any. I got sensory.
Oh, yeah.
So round one is World Wars from Eugene. So try saying round one's World Wars.
Round one's World Wars.
Did it fine. So here we go, Eugene. You've kept it nice and light for everyone by going hard on war. Question number one. During the First World War, there were many accounts of the British firing a Vickers machine gun for no apparent reason. The fact is that 1 minute was enough for what? So he's put a stumble in his own question. He's typed out a question including for. During the First World War, there were many accounts of the British firing a Vickers machine gun for no apparent reason. The fact is that 1 minute was enough for .. for what?
I think what you're not doing is channeling Eugene's drama with
please,
that.
Please do read it for us.
It's meant to be... So that's the sense... So, let's move your drink out of the way. The fact is that 1 minute was enough for... For what?
Oh, wow. You've captured Eugene very well.
Good. That's very good.
The fact is, I mean, that's a strange way of asking a quiz question, isn't it, Eugene? Sorry, I didn't mean to have a go at you so early on. Thanks
really
again for sending it in.
Horrible to Eugene.
1 minute was enough for...
So the fact is that 1 minute was enough for what? So I think maybe, I suppose that these machine guns probably got quite hot. So is there something in maybe being able to boil some water?
Fry an egg. Is it a fry and egg situation?
It's a fry and egg situation. Eugene, if you are listening, I just want to immediately apologise for having a go at you. I think that my ego from being knocked so quickly by not understanding your question meant I just was attacked you and it was completely wrong.
Do you remember when I said I would be bringing grace to the podcast?
And oh my God, it's come full circle.
That's why it's needed.
Question number two. The poet John Masefield lived through the First World War. What did he describe with bitter irony as a long pre-dug grave? I mean... It's come on down to Litcher and Friends for a pub quiz every Tuesday at 7:30. We'll be talking about machine guns, pre-dug gay graves, and lots of death.
A trench.
Question number three. Traditionally, the British wore nightgowns at night, but during World War I, pajamas came into use due to what? Why would you want to wear pajamas rather than a nightgown?
Like bombings. Having to run to
Was it easier to...
Oh, wow, that's so incredibly clever.
Is it that?
Yeah.
I wish nightgowns would come back.
I would love a
nightgown. I would love to be Wee Willy Winkying it around the city.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I think that's really good. Air raids. And pyjamas, of course.
Did
is...
they... Were air raids a thing in World War One?
Actually, that's a good point.
When were planes?
When were planes?
When were they?
When were planes is nearly a sentence.
Towards the end, right, of World War One? Some bombs?
Yeah, I think there would still be bomb, like,
bomb or two.
To run
pyjamas came into use due to war.
Yeah. So pyjama is an Indian word, pajama.
Love that.
You can probably say a lot of things in an Indian accent and then claim that it's an Indian word.
But we won't try.
Give it a go.
Okay.
Pajama, shampoo.
Really?
Yeah, both Indian words.
Well,
yeah. Punch, the drink punch is an Indian word because there are five ingredients and punch in Hindi is five.
Oh, wow. That's a good fact.
Yeah. If only someone would invite me onto a quiz podcast. I really like your answer, Daniel.
Thank you.
Of air raids, yeah.
Question four.
During the Second World War, the BBC stopped broadcasting. What? Because it was thought they would aid enemy air raids.
Ooh.
They stopped broadcasting what? Because they thought it would aid enemy air raids.
Something what? That shows like the lay of the land, right?
Weather? Weather forecast?
Oh, the shipping forecast.
Right.
The shipping forecast on BBC Radio 4. Have you heard
Do you
that
think?
Before? What is it's basically the weather, but like done to it's done for sort of like ships to know how to navigate in the middle of the night.
Oh, okay.
Very relaxing.
It's very
some
relaxing.
Of the earliest ASMR.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Could be.
You don't seem convinced.
Air raids didn't typically happen on boats.
No, that's true. Do you know what? You've pointed out my idiocy in such a charming way. You have brought grace to that.
But it was lovely. Did you know that punch typically comes from the Indian word for five? That was good when you said that.
Remember that? That was nice.
That was clever when you said that one. I don't know. It could be. I feel like weather maybe is a good one.
Yeah.
I was thinking like my mind immediately went to like Emmerdale because it has, which it can't be because it has the aerial shots of like landscape. I'm thinking something where you can like see.
Famously on BBC in the 40s.
See something like...
The EastEnders bit at the beginning where it shows the Thames. Get rid of that. That'll help them out.
Yeah, I guess weather, because they wouldn't be able to get their own like weather balloons up in...
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go to weather. And question number five. During World War II, war chronicles in US cinemas were... There's not normally this much war in these quizzes. I just want to say, Daniel, like we have a lot of... A big range of sort of like pop culture and history and geography... During World War II, we've never had something about mass graves before.
Mm.
That is new to the podcast. Eugene!
Eugene!
Eugene is a sort of 1950s character that keeps dropping in horrific war questions
Eugene.
Into quizzes.
Yeah. Keeps leaving rakes lying around. Eugene!
During World War II... War chronicles in US cinemas were modified a little bit to present Hitler and Mussolini in a comical light. How were they modified? Maybe they had Eugene!
Would it have been like cartoon?
They were modified a bit.
A little bit.
A little bit. A little bit.
A little bit.
Oh, a little bit.
Silly voice.
You know when you do that thing about Hitler, can you modify him but a little bit? I hate him, but I just don't want to be too mean.
Were they modified?
They caricatured them.
Yeah.
Caricatured? Silly voice?
Silly voice.
Oh, maybe. To make him a bit comical,
so... The war chronicles in the cinemas.
US cinemas.
What's a war chronicle?
Don't know.
This is back in the day when they used to put, like, several things on at once when you went to see something in the cinema.
So I like silly voices,
remember that?
But would they have had audio? In the 40s, yes, obviously.
A little. Oh,
idiots, yes,
oh,
of course.
Would they?
Yeah, because Wizard of Oz was 1939.
Okay.
This
is when you used to go and see a film, and there'd be like a bit of the news, and then like a bit of something else, and then your film, and then something else.
And then loose women, and then
they'd have loose women.
Oh, what about slightly sped up?
Oh, that's fun.
Yes.
Just be a bit more dapper.
That's fun, and it's a slight modification.
Yeah, it's very
or
slight.
Or squashed a little bit, so that they're like slightly distorted and they look short.
Yeah. Yes, because it's the chronicle itself that's modified, so it's not specifically on Hitler and Mussolini. I like that. So squashed or sped up? Sped up?
Should we do it? Yeah?
Yeah. Sped up.
Maybe like times two or something like that.
You know what? Times two. Right, okay, here we go. The answers. Yeah. So, question number one. During the First World War, we were looking for why the Vickers machine gun was fired for a minute. It was...
Oh, Vickers. Would it be the prayer? Was it something to do with praying? I didn't
know. Well, it was that it took 1 minute to boil the cooling water in the gun to make our tea.
We said boiling water.
Thus confirming the stereotype about Brits and their tea.
Oh, we said about boiling
water. We said about that, but then Daniel...
I derailed you with an egg.
Not for the first time. Question number two. The poet John Masefield talked about something being a pre-dug grave. It was trenches. Very well done. I sort of want to give us something for that heating up thing, but it's all right.
No, it's fine.
Eugene wouldn't.
Question number three. The British wore nightgowns. Why? They were considered more practical for night bombings. I think we can give ourselves that.
Yeah.
Question number four. What did the BBC stop broadcasting? It was indeed weather forecasts.
We're doing all right, yeah.
Question number five. We were asked about the war chronicles in the US cinemas that were modified a little bit. How were they modified to make fun of Hitler and Mussolini?
I'll be surprised if it's not something that we said. You know what I mean? We went through a lot of options.
So we said a few things. I mean, I thought maybe caricatured, but I don't think that was right. Daniel, you said squashed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think you said sped up, didn't you, Liam?
Yeah.
We went with sped up. It was sped up.
So well done.
Very good answer. 4 out of 5.
Almost a 5.
I know. We love to get a 5 out of 5 on this.
I would be keen to get
I'd
five
really
out of
be
five.
Keen for you two as well. So we've gone in with world wars. I imagine that Eugene's going to say, okay, guys, let's go a little bit less specific and we'll go a bit broader. Yes. So what's the next category?
Round two is Japan.
Brilliant. and I imagine there'll be a little bit of Japan's role in World War II.
Yeah, probably.
I thought. Should we get into it?
Yeah.
Oh, God, these are like wordy questions, long
sounds
questions.
Like a job
so,
for Christina Aguilera.
So bear with me.
Take your time.
In Japan, they were used... In Japan, they were used for religious rites, for signalling, for transporting things, for gathering military intelligence, and even for storming fortresses. And also, just for fun, like nowadays, what are these? So, right, in Japan, it's a thing we're looking for. And this thing was used for religious rites, for signalling, for transporting things, for gathering military intelligence, and even for storming fortresses. And also, just for fun, like nowadays. It was also used for fun, like it is now.
Daniel Fox, what do you use for fun nowadays that could also be good for gathering military intelligence and storming a fortress?
Do you think it's fireworks?
Oh, wow, that's fun.
Or balloons.
Religious rites.
Yeah, that's really fun.
Signalling.
Was it Japan or was it China that invented?
China invented fireworks, I think. Gunpowder.
Yeah.
But I do think that...
Oh, for transporting.
Yeah,
transporting things,
Transporting things.
Though. Balloons, is it? Like like lanterns.
But you could still transport things on the rocket of a firework, maybe? I mean, I don't know if it would last.
Storming fortresses. So some mode of transport. So
balloons? Maybe. Balloons?
Gathering intelligence.
Hot air balloons?
Balloons.
Just balloons?
Yeah, like... Well,
yeah, hot air
like paper lanterns.
Hot air balloons.
Storming fortresses. Religious rites.
Hot air balloons that you could travel in didn't appear until like the 1800s.
Nerd. sorry. literally a pop quiz podcast.
Signalling, transporting.
But that's okay. Why would that rule this out?
Yeah, I guess it wouldn't.
In Japan.
I think we just write balloons and then if it's hot air balloons, we give it ourselves.
Or kites?
Kites is lovely.
Kites is good, actually.
Yes, I like kites now.
Do you?
I like kites now, yeah.
But for storming something
well,
with a kite?
Dropping stuff from them and, I don't know,
fires. Kites, balloons and fireworks. Who still feels strongly towards fireworks? Anyone?
No.
Signaling.
Not for transporting.
Okay, so who feels strongly about balloons still? I still do.
I do think that, like...
I think I'm leaning towards balloons.
Balloons, same.
Let's go balloons, guys.
Yeah, balloons. I'm hoping with the next question, Eugene, that you sort of make it light. Maybe it's about sort of joy and delight. What is it?
In Japan, some of these facilities use therapy dogs to help clients cope with anxiety during procedures.
Eugene, what's going on? Have you not seen The Chase with Bradley Walsh? This is the sort of thing we want.
Many of these facilities have the number 32 in their name. What kind of facilities are these?
Sorry, could I have the question again?
In Japan, some of these facilities use therapy dogs to help clients.
Sorry, could I have it in Eugene's accent?
What was Eugene's accent?
Oh, he's Chinese.
So we're looking for a facility that use therapy dogs, and they often have a number 32 in their name.
During procedures.
Are they dentists? Dentists?
Oh, that's quite good.
Yeah, why would 32...
Maybe, I suppose it's...
Because you have 32 teeth?
Do you?
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, it must be that.
Bang on.
Yeah,
well done.
Most adults have 32 teeth.
Well done.
Gosh.
That was very good.
That was really good.
For the first time, I think, ever in my life, I turned myself on a bit.
That was really good.
I turned myself on a bit.
First time ever.
Yeah.
Question three.
I'm usually, a sight in the mirror is the one way to lose an erection for me. I shower fully clothed because I can't stand the sight of myself.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
Well, that's where the nightgowns come back in. Yeah. Really good.
Question three. In October 2023, Japan...
That's why no one will ever identify you by Uranus.
We've never seen one like it before. This anus hasn't seen sun in 20 years.
In October 2023, Japan Airlines was forced to send an extra flight to Amami Island due to the overloading of the plane. What event was supposed to take place on the island that day?
I don't know, but it's another cheery event to ask a question about, isn't it? All we've had is war, claustrophobia, anxiety, planes that are overloaded.
Okay, so it's like everyone is wanting to travel to Amami Island.
So and they were Japan so Airlines were forced to send an extra flight to the island due to the overloading of the plane.
Everyone wants on.
Everyone wanted on there because there was an event happening on this island.
And it's in 2023, that's quite recent.
Yeah, it is quite recent.
So it's either a celeb is doing something there?
Yeah, it could be a concert or a festival.
Surely not just a cherry blossom thing, that wouldn't be fun pub quizzing.
Who's massive in Japan, in Asia?
Oh, could it be like BTS?
That's a great shout.
Could it be a concert?
Could it be a K-pop band?
K-pop gig?
Or one of those, you know, like Harry Styles is like massive in like East Asia.
Oh, I think Harry Styles was touring in 2023.
No, he was
touring.
It'd be a good quiz question.
I actually went to Wembley.
I went, but I think it was 2022.
It was 2023 because...
I definitely saw him in Manchester in 2022.
No, I fucking saw Harry Styles, and I know when Harry Styles was.
And he's a pretty man.
and
he's not going to say that.
yeah, but I think he would have... But the tour would have been across like a year and a half. I think I really am strongly thinking it's Harry Styles.
Especially when he got off to like the East Asian leg.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Or is that one of those...
Get off the East Asian leg.
Or is that... is that one of... But it's so smooth. Is that one of those islands that you see on like social media where it's like the pig island or like the rabbit island? You know, with all the like...
All the little pig me.
It was an event taken... so it could have been like...
Pig festival.
I think it's Harry Styles.
Okay.
I really do. I think it was...
I don't think he was still on tour, but yes, go with it. Question four. Kit Kat is very popular in Japan. Here we go. Bit of fun from Eugene.
Chocolate.
Kit Kat.
Go on.
Take a Kit Kat. To reduce the environmental impact of wrappers, the manufacturer decided to make Kit Kat wrappers from a special paper that is best suited for... what?
I mean, it's still fun, it's chocolate. I mean, there's still the air of sort of environmental doom and the end of the world. Coming. But yeah, we're still having fun.
Well, best suited for wrapping chocolate, right? Recycle, I don't know. What would it be? Composting?
The manufacturer decided to make Kit Kat wrappers from a special paper that is best suited...
for
what?
I don't know what paper could be best suited for other stuff. Guys, I've just had a thought because it's the Japan round. Maybe it's best suited for origami.
Oh, that's a really good shout.
Yeah,
that is a good shout. That is good.
Yeah, let's go.
I think that's it's just a hunch.
Pause for like 1 second.
Of course.
I get something on my back. I'm not sure if it was a gun. I went rogue and chose a coffee for this round, and now I'm like so aware that I have coffee breath, and I need to.
No, you don't at all. I've been trying to smell it, but
I really thought for a moment there you like bought it in a gift or something.
Yeah, I thought it was.
If I did like an amazing origami.
I thought it was origami earlier.
That would have been a much classier thing to do.
Have you done origami, guys?
No,
have you got into it?
Tried it a bit. I think a bit at school, you know what I mean? Just sort of fold in a few.
I used to make those like paper fortune tellers.
Oh yeah, they were.
Yes, I do that a lot. Yeah. I still do that to this day.
Yeah, they're fun.
Do you think kids are still doing that now in schools?
Oh no, they're probably watching porn and trying to.
I meant primary school. I meant primary school.
Yeah, they're probably watching porn and trying to thumb each other.
They're all doing Ozempic now.
Yeah, they're all thumbing each other on Ozempic and.
You know what? It's a really fun thing to bring on a date.
Oh.
Or a fun.
Why did we both go? Oh.
Also, a fun thing to bring into the bedroom. Write some like naughty things in it. Be like, blue, you
really?
Say.
Really? Have just, you done that?
Yes.
Just make sure you say the right
one. It does spice things up.
Yes.
But then the thing is, because you've made the thing, you know what. Green 3. Go blue 2.
Yeah. You would not like green 3.
You wouldn't like green 3. I've got coffee breath.
Blue 2. Okay, you know they're unique, actually. They're the same as a thumbprint.
I saw my nephew about, not too long ago, he's like 5, and kids nowadays still go mad for, I like to move it.
Still like that.
Do you remember, like, as a kid, it was like, that was brilliant. That went off, but I assumed 20 years on, kids aren't, but no, still go mad for it. I like to move it. I don't know what it is in that song, it sends kids mad.
It does, yeah. Well, for our generation, I suppose it was the, I like to chew it.
I was just about to say.
Chew it. It was the Chewits song.
That dinosaur thing, one of my earliest crushes, the Chewits dinosaur.
Really?
What a fit guy. Big Chewits dinosaur, like skating through the city. Fuck. I had a lot of time for him.
Tony the Tiger?
Yeah. He came to my school.
Really?
He came to give out swimming badges. And he gave us all the badges that we could like stick to our trunks. And I've got a semi.
Sexual awakening.
7 years old looking up at
him. Hang on a minute. We didn't buy Frosties. These were cornflakes. I wanted to be the Cocoa Pops guy.
He was cool.
Yeah. Cocoa the Monkey. Really cool. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Until you get cool Cocoa the Monkey at a white private school. I would say private school. Didn't go to a private school.
But when you're walking into one.
Yeah.
Should we do question 5?
Question number 5.
I think we could be on for... let's not jinx it. The earliest Japanese version of this game also consists of 3 elements. Slug, frog, and snake. Well, a later one consists of the village chief, the hunter, and the fox. What does the version we know consist of?
I think I know.
Go on.
I think it might be rock, paper, scissors. Because slug, frog, and snake... Would all eat each other, would they?
No, snake would eat a frog. Frog would eat a slug.
It's all things that report upwards, right? So it's like the chief's in charge of the hunter, the hunter's in charge of the fox, but the fox isn't in charge of anything. So what's like a thing that's tiered that way?
So 3 things that are tiered that way. So like, it wouldn't be like a playground game like Cops and Robbers, would it?
No, it needs to be 3.
Because it needs to be 3 things.
But it's not a bad show.
Could but be something like that.
What does the version we know consist of? But then it needs to probably be 3.
Tic-tac-toe. I'm just...
Snakes and ladders.
Like, what's the one, you know, the game like Mafia?
I was about to say, but is that like, a bit much?
Yeah. But you know, when it's sort of like, you got like, it's like civilians, the murderers and the...
Yeah.
But
werewolf.
Yeah. Or like a dodgeball style, or like British Bulldog kind of.
That sort of thing,
where there's like a chaser and
I do think Rock, Paper, Scissors is quite a good shout for just like 3. I know we can't quite go, but if they heard Rock, Paper, Scissors, would they be like, well, hang on, who eats what there?
Because the fox might eat the village chief.
Yeah, it's true.
He might.
If he's lucky.
But it's just about hand shape, what covers what. Paper just covered the rock.
No, Rock, Paper, Scissors is not designed just because of the shape of the hands that you make. It's because of the innate things that they can do to each other. The way that paper can wrap across the rock, and the way the scissors can cut the paper, and the way the rock can bash the scissors.
Blunt those scissors.
To be fair, saying it out loud, those things don't really happen in real life. In the same way that maybe these things don't really happen in real life.
I think we go rock, paper, scissors. I think it's a really good show.
I think we're playing with fire with that.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's that.
Yeah, fine. Okay.
I just don't.
Okay.
But that's fine. We can go with it. Like 2 against 1.
No.
I suddenly feel like we're on the sub team of an apprentice task. I don't know why it had that energy.
Let's go rock, paper, scissors.
Rock, paper, scissors. And we know it's not that.
Well, let's do the answers.
Yeah.
Maybe it is that. If it is, I want to make up my own version.
In Japan, what was used for signalling, transporting, storming fortresses, and also for fun.
Balloons.
We said balloons. We were torn with balloons and there was a late shout for kites.
Yeah, late shout for kites, early shout for fireworks.
The answer is kites.
Daniel, your foot down.
It was
a beautiful answer. It was all you as well.
But they were all good. It's sometimes nicer to be a martyr than to be right.
Yeah, you're really. I can see you basking in it.
Yeah, like that.
In Japan, some of these facilities use therapy dogs, and they often have a number 32 in their name. What are they? We said dentist. It is dentist.
Is it really dentist?
Because the only thing I had was like, maybe it's like getting put under general anaesthetic, and it's like 3-2. And that's what the 32 was.
That's good though.
Yeah, 32.
I'd like a dog there if I was having clonic irrigation.
What's that?
I would love they put the tube up your ass and suck everything out.
Have you ever had it done?
I'd love to just no.
I've never had it done. I would love to have a colonic done. I think you would. I've been quoted as saying I would like a colonic before every show that I do. I'd like a colonic and a haircut before every show, and ideally like a hygienist appointment as well. I just want to feel completely clean inside and out. But my friends got me a colonic voucher off Groupon.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't look in the eyes of a woman who's being prepaid to give me a discount colonic and be like, go on then. Like, I can't, so I've never used
you
it.
You've never used it?
No, because I'm like, I can't get a discount colonic off some poor fucking woman.
Is it still active?
Huh?
Is it still active?
I don't know.
It'd be good for Patreon.
Discount. I'm just imagining her using a Henry Hoover.
Yeah.
Just sort of like, right, up you go, turn it on, suck it out. Yeah. See you later.
Oh, I've got it on the blow set. It's a load of dust up. You will need one now. Not off Groupon.
Oh, so I was even dustier than it was before.
I just think you'd feel marvellous.
You would. Yeah. Do you know what? Sure. Let's get a colonic after this.
That would be nice. It's got a depth.
We usually ask our guests if they want to go for a pint afterwards. We've asked Daniel Fox if he wants to go for a colonic.
Go for a couple of colonics.
I'll tell you what, though. The areas that lack Pret's often lack colonic irrigation centres.
Yeah, you're in the right area. Question three. So what was the event that Japanese Airlines had to put extra flights onto because it was so popular to this island? We were torn between Harry Styles, which we went for, and...
BTS
and pigs.
Pigs and rabbits.
Pig season. The answer, it's sumo.
Oh.
And I think we should have got more in the mind of like, this is the Japanese. You know what we're saying about the lanterns?
It would just be like interesting if it was Harry Styles.
Yeah, it would be actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Better, that would have been an interesting quiz.
We should have thought, look, the Eugene from Moldova giving the Moldovan quiz would do a Japanese round.
I'm going to defend us. I think if we'd said sumo, that would have felt slightly racist.
Yeah. It would have felt like...
You're right,
like,
actually.
All they want to do is Japanese stuff. But it turns out they fucking do.
Yeah.
What the Kit Kat paper is more commonly suited for is origami. That's correct.
Good. That was inspired.
So, and then number five, what was the game that was Slug, Frog, Snake? Village Chief Hunter and the Fox. Here, we call it Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Oh, really? Well done. I'm so sorry, guys. I really dragged that out.
I have no idea, though, Slug, Fox...
What the fuck is Slug doing to anyone?
I don't know.
Giving people lungworm, I guess. But that feels
very sort of medical.
Especially for like a medieval game.
Rock, Paper, Scissors is nice because kids can sort of grasp that.
But sometimes the slug gives a parasite to them.
It's actually a complicated layer to the ecosystem where not necessarily all predators are eating them directly.
Slug, frog, what was the other one?
And
snake.
Snake.
So presumably the slug is fucking up the snake.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah.
I suppose so. So how do we do on that round?
It's a 3 out of 5.
It's 3 out of 5.
So 4 and a 3, 7 out of 10.
Hey, look at this bit of paper that says interview segment Daniel Fox.
Okay, let me just note that down.
Segment. So how did it all start for you, Daniel? Like, doing comedy, writing musicals, like, how did not having a normal job happen?
Started writing musicals when I was at university.
Mm-hmm. University of?
King's College London.
Oh, wow, okay.
Started writing plays and musicals there, and then I worked as a headhunter in the city while also trying to do comedy, and then lockdown happened. And I was like, oh no, Zoom gigs is all that exists. Did you watch or do any Zoom?
I didn't.
Zoom comedy?
Yeah.
No, I ran a fairly successful quiz And we went on Absolute Radio to talk about it, and we ended up getting a load of Absolute Radio listeners to come on for the quiz. But we got Zoom bombed. Do you know about Zoom bombing?
Oh, yeah.
So like the Zoom link got leaked, and we got these American teenagers that came on and just started just shouting the N-word at me.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, I don't think they can quite see what... and then and like posting like links to quite hardcore porn in there.
Oh.
So that was quite enjoyable.
Yeah.
but yeah, so you were doing Zoom gigs.
Yeah, which I had a couple of those where that sort
Did
of thing
you?
Happened. But it was just like, I think... Stuff like quizzes worked really well. Mm. Comedy was terrible because it was like, you can just hear someone like chopping carrots in the background and someone having a divorce and then like you're trying to talk and it like...
Do you have them on mute?
Well, that's it. Do you have them on mute and then just have no laughter? Did a few of those. Or do you have it where there's like... The best ones were they had like a little row of like five people who were allowed to have their mics on and they were good laughers. And then you'd like... Oh, it was awful. Anyway, so then I started making... social media content instead. Because I was like, oh, I'll do little characters and stuff instead over that time, which is when I started getting like, actually like a following and able to do it kind of.
Getting fucking massive.
That's when I started getting really massive.
It's happened quite quickly then, hasn't it? Mm.
Yeah, the last few years. Like post, and I would say it was like second lockdown when that happened. And then did my first hour of comedy in 2023. And
it's
like...
remarkable the how much of a sort of creative catalyst we're finding that lockdown has been.
I think nine out of ten guests we have
They started or there was some sort of like seismic shift in what their focus was and what they were doing because of lockdown.
I think obviously it was awful. Of course, it was like an awful time, but like I fucking miss it. Like having all the pressure taken off you. Mm. I think that was just like unleashed all this like creativity in everyone. Yeah. So it was like, oh, we don't fuck. Like, there's not that pressure of being like, you've got to make the most use of your time. You've got to be doing seven things at once. And all this stuff. I was like sitting in my parents' garden in rural Hampshire, being like, maybe I should make a little video.
Mm.
Like, oh yeah, that's a fun thing to do with my time because I've just got all the time in the world to do whatever I want.
You have a proper podcast. With Dane, with Dane Buckley. I mean,
with People's Princess Dane Buckley.
Yeah. How did you meet Dane? I sort of like I saw you guys interacting with each other at a gig the other day. You just seem like you actually are the best of friends.
Yeah, we're very good at pretending that.
We're getting better. We're getting better at that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, we met through a couple of gigs, I think, and just like chit-chatted on social media and stuff, and then I was on. Doing tour support for someone for like a long, like doing so much long driving. And we were just like voice noting constantly of like, we're both like old women in our tastes and the things we're into. So we're both talking like, my favorite type of dried spice is, and like 10 minute voice notes on it and just being really silly with each other. And we have a very similar sense of humor. And then after a while we were like, maybe we should just make this a job and make these voice notes into a podcast. Mm. So we'll just start doing audio of that instead and start a little podcast together.
You've got it's got a massive following and you get some great guests and it's brilliant.
It's really nice. It's fun to do.
You had Catherine Ryan on the other day, didn't you?
Had Catherine Ryan on, Josh Whitaker's been on, Tom Allen had a load of comedy people on, which has been really nice.
Do you have any tips
for... sending them our way?
Yeah. do you have any tips for two aspiring podcasters like myself and Liam? What have you learned that you'd say is might be useful?
Oh my God. Nothing.
Oh, shut up.
We have my biggest tip is have the angle of your camera so fucking high,
right,
that you look like a girl in a MySpace picture circa 2005.
I could have sat in this room for maybe 2 weeks and I wouldn't have thought that would be
really bad. We're so vain around like we have because
why is it higher is better?
Yeah, because it gets like a nicer angle on you where you sort of look slimmer. We went through
shall we do that for the rest of it?
Shall
we actually do it for the rest of it?
Suddenly snap it super high.
What, so do you find that angle what helps in some way?
I find so, yeah.
Really?
To be fair, does a higher angle is better? You just sort of see the contours.
A little
better,
bit more
you?
Of this. Yeah, in the same way that, like, obviously you wouldn't take your dating pictures from, like, this angle. You take them from, like...
I sort of take them from that angle.
Yeah,
there.
Well, you're famous.
Just so
your,
they know, well, they know who I am that unique, way. Because you can identify someone from their anus.
Yeah, and that's how you get verified on Hinge.
God, that probably will be the new field verification process.
Anal scanning.
So, Daniel, I have a strong feeling that a lot of the people who listen to this already do follow you, but for those few that don't, where can people find you online and where can people see you live?
If they search Daniel Fox on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, big Facebook following.
What is your audience like?
mums.
Sure.
Yeah,
okay.
Like lovely.
You have a picture of your audience, like you can see, I suppose, yeah. You've done a lot of, you know, you've done full out, people come to see you.
It's three people.
Okay.
It's Sloan Ranger kind of girlies. Mm. It's like Le Chameau Willies and like Barber Jackets, and they're being like, we just love you, we think you're so funny. And then it's fun mums who like a red wine.
Yeah.
And then it is their gay friends. That is my audience. It's those three people.
It's a nice crowd.
It's a really nice crowd.
It's a fun crowd to perform to. Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Your gigs are a hen party.
They are a hen party, which is so nice to perform to. And also, there is a fourth quadrant, which is I did when, on my last tour show. This woman pushed to the front. I was doing like a saying hi to people and bye to people and stuff at the end and taking selfies with people and stuff. And this woman in a fur coat pushed to the front. Like pushed in front of this girl who was like in the middle of speaking to me, grasped me by the hand and went, the Russian mothers of London love you. And then walked out. So
I was not expecting that.
If you need someone killing, I do think I could arrange that.
Of all the guests we've had on, I didn't think that when I do need someone assassinated, I'd be coming to Daniel Fox.
If you need someone taking out.
Wow.
It sounds like a code, doesn't it? Like, geese always fly west.
Yeah, yeah.
The Russian mothers of London love you.
Yeah.
Finally. Well, Daniel, it's been a pleasure to have you on the podcast, but
really
it's not necessarily been what I hoped for. I did think that with a guest of your caliber, we would have a 5 out of 5 round. We've got one last chance to do it.
But I do think with that, we can blame Eugene.
Yeah?
It's easy to do that.
Fucking Eugene.
It's easy to
hey, look, you're a comedian. You don't want this bleak stuff. It's been a very bleak quiz. You know what I mean? You're not associating with what's going on.
Yeah,
in the
I know.
Wars
Japanese anxieties and open graves. So round three is connection. I imagine there's something that connects everything, but we'll see what happens. So question number one, that's really fun. Here we go. A documentary about the life of this ancient general and statesman begins with a C-section. This, of course, is probably most probably a legend. Name the statesman. I know the answer.
Go on.
It was Julius Caesar.
Oh.
And it's rumoured that the C-section, Caesarian, is named after him because he was the first person to be born of that process.
Oh, wow.
But really I don't imagine it was great for his mother. Question number two.
It's a lot of very old sort of history questions, isn't it?
After tasting different types of crisps and not noticing any difference, one blogger concluded with what English expression?
I don't understand that says.
Can you go again in Eugene's accent for that for me, please?
After tasting different types of crisps... Eugene, stop doing that Indian accent. After tasting different types of crisps and not noticing any difference, one blogger concluded with what English expression? A blogger that he follows basically had some crisps. They all tasted the same and then said much of a muchness.
One blogger concluded
much of a muchness.
Much of a muchness.
Yeah.
Tried loads of different types of crisps. And so what's a saying for just something all being the same?
One blogger.
Bland, same... take it or leave it.
It's all...
An English expression.
Take it or leave it. Much of a muchness.
Much of a muchness is probably the closest saying I can think of. To.
God, yeah. he's gone World War II, the history of Japan, and now a niche blogger.
Blogger who said an English phrase after trying a load of crisps which
who
thought all tasted
Eugene
the same.
Big on Substack.
I'm like, yeah, what's a crisp blogger?
I don't know, I'm afraid. I think
should
five
should
five
we just go much of a muchness?
Yeah.
Or is there like a...
We've got to remember, this is for connection round.
What's that?
There might be something...
I know what the connection is.
Does that mean
is.
All the answers?
I know what the connection is.
Is C-section Julius Caesar, is it much of a muchness slash or much of a do about nothing? Like, is it all Shakespeare plays?
Should we do question three and then
we'll see.
I'd completely missed that that's what we were doing, connection.
No,
yeah,
so
I sort of missed
Liam.
That, actually.
It was Liam.
Liam just, so, Leonardo DiCaprio's character in Inception, what's his surname? That's question number three. What is the surname of Leonardo DiCaprio's character in Inception?
I don't know.
No one's actually
Well, let's think
it.
About Shakespeare plays.
If that is the link, yeah. I mean, Shakespeare plays...
Hamlet. Macbeth.
Macbeth, it could be Macbeth.
Could be.
Hamlet, Macbeth, Othello, Much Ado About Nothing, Last of the Summer Wine isn't one. What am I trying to think of then? Midsummer Night's Dream.
Last of the Summer Wine.
Leah.
I'm sure. Hey, Willie could only dream of writing Last of the Summer Wine.
Yeah. Let's put a pin in it and come back and see if this link checks out. Question number 4. What alphabet has been in use since the late 9th century BC, derived from the earlier Phoenician alphabet, and is the earliest known alphabetic script to develop separate letters for vowels and consonants? Bit of fun. have a crack. What alphabet has been in use since the late 9th century?
Derived from the earlier...
What is the Roman alphabet? The, like...
Phoenician alphabet.
The alphabet called the...
Our alphabet is Latin. Called the Latin alphabet, is it not?
And then there's the Cyrillic one.
Oh.
And then there's...
I mean, you've just said another alphabet, which I think helps.
Yeah.
There's the...
Phoenician. Two Gentlemen of Verona.
Yeah, Venice or something like that could be a surname for Leo.
It's earliest known alphabet script to develop separate letters from vowels and consonants.
What, Arabic?
It could be Arabic.
Yeah.
And it could be Arabic. Or it could be Arabic. But
what would the connection be?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think of something that would be Shakespeare-y.
It's been in use since the late 9th century BC. So maybe it's the Latin alphabet.
Yeah.
Yeah. But was the Roman Empire around then?
No. And like that alphabet. I don't think it was that for that long ago.
Greek.
The Greek alphabet, that's brilliant.
And what is that called? Hellenic. So Helen, isn't there a Shakespeare thing about?
Helen of Troy. Maybe it's just the Greek alphabet?
Could be.
Greek/Hellenic.
Let's do that.
And finally, Sumerian. Don't know where that is. Question number 5. The word connecting all the answers in this round. Oh, he's telling us.
Could the connection be Italy?
No, he's telling us the connection now.
Oh.
We jumped the gun. He's actually included it in the round. The word connecting all the answers in this round comes from Latin and means salted. What word is this?
Ooh.
I would say this is the most highbrow quiz we've had on the show.
I have such a clear image of...
Of Eugene. What are you seeing?
Have you watched The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
Yes.
Her dad.
Okay, fine.
Like a sort of like professor, sort of... I think he's got like a dark moustache and like curly dark hair. And he's like sort of always in a brown suit.
Yeah, I think Eugene's hot as guts as well.
Yeah, I think he's a hot
dad. I really
dad.
Think... I think he is... Bursting out of his
big hairy chest.
Yeah.
Very fuckable, I think.
He's sort of like...
Loves the war.
Yeah, I think he might be a professor.
Loves
that
a
might
crossword.
Might give you extra points if you sort of stay after class.
God.
Something
incredibly lacking in this industry.
Yeah.
You've worked in TV. This is the second time I'm saying this to you because I said this to you at a gig. I really was told, like from like reading all the biographies of comedians and stuff, that getting into the media industry, there'd be so much opportunity to like fuck your way to the top. Not once has it presented itself that I could suck someone off to get on TV.
You even got a Groupon voucher for it.
I've even got my fucking Groupon voucher ready to go.
You did say that to me at the gig. You're like, there's literally no opportunity to fuck, there's no one fuckable. And I was like... Well, I'll just zip myself up then.
I've said this to you twice in as many times as me.
Every time you say it to me, I'm basically hearing, you're so unfuckable.
You left the industry. But like, I think, anyway, I would, listen, Eugene, get in touch. Okay, what salt is there?
This is so hard. I mean, look, Eugene.
Sodium. Is that Latin? Probably. No.
Yeah.
Sodium would be the Latin way of putting it.
Oh, hello. Hello.
Hi.
Okay, guys, this could be really sexy. So, is the word salad? So we've got a Caesar salad and a Greek salad.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Could it be salad?
Leonardo Nicoise.
Green
side.
Side salad.
Could be green.
Garden salad.
Could be garden.
From Latin, it means
salted. You do that
salted.
In Sainsbury's, sort of like in the plastic tubs.
Yes. So you think salad means salted?
I think it could be. Okay. I think it could be. I don't know the answer.
Let's try it. Yeah, let's try it. I can't think of any, many types of salad, really.
Wait, prep boy.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's a stepping forward. Crayfish. Or like, is it like a fun, like word salad? You know, like things where we...
Yeah.
The thing is, with Caesar and Greek, they're one of the few salads we're naming that aren't just the name of the main protein source in that salad. Because then beyond that, we're going egg salad, tuna salad, ham salad.
Yeah.
No, but like Waldorf.
Yeah, exactly.
The other one that we said. Garden. Green.
Should we say his surname's Green?
Fruit.
Yeah, let's say his surname is Green. Guys, I think we're going to have to admit defeat here.
Crisp salad?
I think we have to admit defeat.
No.
Let's do the answers.
We're going to lock it unless we want to go with something else.
Yeah, go on.
And we are locked in. Okay, so.
I'm devastated already.
Okay, no one look. Here we go. So, the ancient general and statesman that potentially began the C-section was Julius Caesar.
Yeah, well done.
And we've got a bit of extra info here from Eugene. Thank you, Eugene.
Thank you, Eugene.
I'm surprised you had the time to write this down. But despite not bustling out of your shirt, you were able to do this.
Fucking all your students.
Until the modern era, C-sections were fatal to the mother. Sorry. Eugene, we're trying to humanise you at every step of the way.
Every time
we do, you just bang us around the head with more death and destruction. Fun question about Julius Caesar. Fun little image of him fucking his students. But of course, it's all fun and games, guys. But of course, until the modern era, C-sections were fatal to the mother, and Caesar's mother, Aurelia, not only survived her son's birth, but lived for nearly 50 years afterwards. It was a happy ending.
That's nice.
Question number two. After tasting different types of crisps and not noticing every difference, one blogger concluded by saying, potato, potato.
Oh. Potato salad.
Yeah.
That's giving me high hopes of salad, to be honest.
Salad.
Question number three. What's the surname of Leonardo DiCaprio's character in Inception?
Green.
Cobb.
Oh, what? Is it really?
Cobb salad.
Cobb salad.
Is that a thing?
Cobb salad.
Yeah, what is it? Cobb?
Carb salad?
What is it? Carb salad?
Say it more and that will help us know what
carb
it is.
Carb salad? It's like... Oh no, I'm thinking of a wedge.
Carb salad, I think, is a ham salad, I think.
Okay. I do think.
And question number four. The alphabet we were looking for was Greek. And number five, yes, it was indeed salad! Which I take a personal sort of like... little high from.
Yeah, that was...
So Julius Caesar, Greek and salad were our correct answers. So it was three... Which means after three rounds, we scored a 4, a 3, and a 3. 10 out of 15. Our leaderboard consists of great quizzes such as Maisie Adam.
Yeah.
Will Best off of Big Brother.
Yeah.
Dan Tiernan, Paddy Young.
Nick Helm,
Ishan Akbar, and Daniel Fox, mid-table, I would say. At 10 out of 15.
Yeah. But did they have just endless war and I saw a blogger and he said this question?
Well, you've got a chance now to sort of put a bit of context to that because we're going to ask you to rate the quiz a bit. A bit of criteria. Playability for Eugene's quiz out of 10.
Not a lot of mix in there, I would say. Like, it was... I some pop culture would have been nice.
I think if I was doing that quiz on my own, I'd maybe get 2.
Look, Eugene, it was hard, but I understand that potentially maybe, you know, the audience that you play to at the Tap Room just love war.
It's like, it was fun, but I wouldn't say that there was something in there for all the family.
No.
Yeah.
No,
so range of questions. Oh, sorry, what was the playability out of 10?
Like, out of 10?
Yeah.
Like a 3 to a 4.
Okay.
Of like, it's for dads.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which so, I think leads us into range of questions out of 10. Range of questions. A 3 or 4.
It's a dad's quiz.
But the final rating includes Eugene, his quiz, but also everything. What are we including in this? We're including...
Well, your whole day.
Your whole day. Yeah. Your 2 drinks, your meeting with the producer, the lights, Deptford, me and Liam, everything. Out of 10, your good vibes rating, Daniel Fox, for the quiz.
I would give it a lovely 8.
Wow. Oh,
and nice. I'm only taking 2 away because we are... 4 miles from the nearest Pret.
That's a lovely full circle. Yeah.
But I got a free coffee downstairs. Oh, that was nice.
You can have another one if you want.
I might.
Do you know what? Should we have a pint after this?
That would be nice.
Let's have a pint. Daniel Fox, it's been an honour to have you on the podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. Would you like to come back potentially at some point?
I would love to come back and do a different quiz.
Okay, fine. Great, 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 great.
I think I have a lot to give, but I didn't get to give it on this one.
But we've got a big thanks as well to someone else.
It's Eugene. Our quiz master Eugene, all the way from Moldova. And a reminder that his quiz runs every Tuesday at 7:30 at Tap Room by Literary and Friends.
Thank you so much, Eugene. And thank you, Daniel Foss. Let's get a pint.